الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just to complete our previous discussion was looking down upon people. One incident that comes to light, which we heard, is like a person was married, and after some time he told his wife to prepare some special food, a special occasion, which should happen in every marriage also from time to time, to rekindle the relationship between the husband and the wife. And best food was prepared, wife was dressed up, husband was also ready for the occasion. And like today, what we go and eat out, to eat out, just eat out of the house. Then you are eating out instead of going to all these other out places where you go right out, where things are what and what things are served there, and the environment which is there, etc. Lot of wrong things take place, the food that we eat, etc. So just eat out of the house, eat outside for a change when the weather, etc. permits. Anyway, so they just sat down for meals, and there was a knock on the door. So when the person went, he saw it was a beggar. So he became very angry on the beggar. And he told the beggar that just when we sit down, like for our special moments, at that time you people come and spoil all the enjoyment. What did the beggar know? He was not aware of anything. And this attitude, this arrogance, this pride, etc., he gave the beggar one slap. The beggar is a beggar, a poor person. He went away. He didn't say anything. But what happened here? By Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, decisions are made there. May Allah protect me, us all. We don't know, many times we say things to people, we behave in such a way, we do things, and we don't know what the, by Allah ta'ala, what. He was a wealthy person. He had 10 shops and doing well in all his shops. But after this incident, one by one, his shop started failing. Till he was completely, he couldn't, he had nothing whatsoever. He told his wife also, now I can't maintain you, so I have to give you talaq, divorce, I can't maintain you. And he gave her also her chutti. So it carried on. Then one day, she got married to somebody else again. And that husband also told her, let us have some nice meals and you dress up, etc., a nice little occasion for us. So she complied. They sat down, everything. And as they were about to start to eat, there was a knock on the door. So the husband went and see. And when he went and see, he saw it was a beggar. So when he saw the beggar, he told his wife, take all this food and go and give it to him. So when she went, that beggar, he had fainted. So what you call it? The wife fainted. The wife fainted. So he wandering, and he went out to go and see. Beggar ran away. He thought he'll be made liable. So when she came round, and she came again in her hosh, in her senses, then he asked her what happened. So she said, no, it doesn't matter in that, but he insisted. So she explained. So she explained that first I was married to somebody else, and what a similar situation came, and that husband of mine, he told me to go and give he slapped that person. And then afterwards everything of his started going down. And by Allah ta'ala, Allah save us all, things don't happen overnight. There hai and there nahi. By Allah ta'ala, Allah gives time. Allah is not unaware, or Allah hasn't got that, he hasn't got the capability or anything to give the punishment. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. For Allah to punish anyone, it is not difficult. Allah protect us all. Allah forgive us all for our shortcomings many times in our youth, because of our wealth, because of our position, we take advantage of people. Allah Ta'ala forgive us for all that. So anyway, then she explained, so then he explained that I was that beggar. And Allah Ta'ala brought him up in such a way, he became a wealthy person, and then he married this woman. So this arrogance of ours, there's also an incident we just read now, of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayh, that he was invited by a wealthy person, a Nawab, to give a talk of Deen at his place, etc. And their relationship was such that he complied, agreed. When he went there, also a beggar came to the door. And he asked for something. And one of the workers also of that nature, temperament, they gave that beggar a slap and chased him away. That way you coming here and you're always begging. So he went away. Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayh came to know about this. When he came to know about it, he refused to give the bayan and he himself left the house. And he went and sat under a tree. Under a tree, he just, because now he was in remorse, sadness, that how can we treat people like this? So the Nawab Sahib came to know about it. So he sent for them to go and look for that beggar. They looked for him, they found him. So then he himself gave him, in that zamana, a 5 rupee. Now 5 rupees in that time, maybe like 50,000 rand today. But just to give you an idea, our Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Fakhruddin, Rahmatullah Alayh, the Ustad of Bukhari Sharif, he, in his time, and his time was long after Maulana Natwi, Rahmatullah Alayh's time, he should say it's in 1 paisa. A rupee in those days had 16 anas and 1 paisa, or say like 1 cent. In 1 cent we should buy our tarkari, roti, every, a complete meal, and we should get change also. So now how much is 5 rupees in that zamana? When Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayh came to know of this, then he came back again. And then he said, I will give the bayan now. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also. So this arrogance and pride, if at anywhere there are beggars, we don't want to give, we don't give. But don't insult the person. Don't humiliate the person. Somebody comes to the door also. Don't humiliate and insult the person. If you don't want to give, you're not in a position to give. Or you can, but you don't want to give. But don't humiliate and disgrace any person. Allah Ta'ala forgive us all and guide us all towards righteousness, inshallah. In this ayat kareema, as we explained, one is one, a person just keeps the basics of the roza. His roza will be done. It won't be said that he didn't keep roza. He won't have to give, keep qaza or kafara. But if he keeps roza as what roza is meant to be, that is, as we explained, roza of the eyes also and the various aspects of it. Allah give us all tawfiq. And this is all, is the training ground. After this, when we go out, and then we have to see what the condition of, how much did we learn to control our eyes. Also, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, gives the example that when a person goes for cataract operation or something, then so previously they should bandage the eyes. Now they ask you to wear sunglasses, dark glasses, to protect the eyes. That is for a little while the eye is being made properly. After that, it is removed and then you can see properly. So here also, this is our training period. May Allah make it that we take our training. We are all in need. And here, Allah give us tawfiq. It is not a matter for the murids. It's for the sheikh first. And then the murids also, for all of us. It isn't just that we have to be telling other people. and we forget ourselves. Allah Ta'ala make it that we all take this lesson, and that when we go out, that we can control our eyes from looking at other women, etc., and on the phone also. And then, as we explained, which can be done even here, even without a phone, fantasizing, etc., all that, and then looking down upon other people. Allah protect us from all these the wrong things. Then with regard to the tongue, we must keep roza of the tongue also. That is also very, very important. And that is also, yeah, now in Ramadan, in this is the training period in the month of Ramadan with our rozas, we have to learn that we learn, keep roza of the tongue also. Now there are various aspects of this, of keeping roza with the tongue. In one hadith sharif it comes that a person says one word and he does not realize, but it takes him to the heights of Jannah. That a person says one word and he doesn't think about it, but it takes him to the depths of Jahannam. Like, for example, husband and wife had an argument fighting with one another. So, after reconciliation, discussion, talking, they were about to make up, everything came right. And somebody said one word there, and he destroyed everything. And he made them break up. And now when they broke up, that one word that person spoke, and caused a marriage, and that makes shaitan the happiest. When shaitan gets a marriage to be broken, which is so common today, somebody worked out, or the report came, the statistics of the divorce in Saudi is so high, very, very high, and many in the world today. And whereas this is the attitude of our way is to try and reconcile as much as possible, make up the marriage. So anyway, so one word a person said there, and he caused the marriage to break up. On the other hand, that there were two people who were also having an argument, fight, whether it is partners in a business or marriage partners, husband and wife, whoever. And somebody said one word, and he made them become, join them together again. And that one word takes him to the heights of Jannah. So we have to be very, very careful what we say with our tongue and how we use our tongue. For that, whenever we want to speak, what we should try is that we should consider, should I say this or not? Very commonly we say, by mistake I said that. Or I just spoke out in my anger and I said that. If you say the word of talaq, divorce, in anger also, it takes place, not only in happiness, but even in anger. If you say, and why will you give talaq? You won't give it when you're happy. You give it when you are angry. And there is no question about it. It takes place immediately. So a person must try to think carefully what he speaks. Very, very important. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And after that, the buzurgs, we find that they used to note down everything what they used to write. If we have to note down, we speak so much. That one time, one of our great buzurgs was here, and we were having sehri at one of our friends' place. And it was in those days, and the phone rang, and he spoke on the phone, and he spoke very short. Today, with the contracts that we have, etc., you get free time. You can speak as much as you want to, overseas, anywhere, with WhatsApp, etc. But in those days, one phone call every second used to count. And used to get charged for every minute, every second used to get charged. So then that buzurg told that this phone should teach us that these words that we speak, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, that you don't, one word doesn't just leave your tongue, but there is an angel who is recording it. If it's a good word, the angel on the right records it immediately. And if it's something wrong you spoke, and today how much don't we speak? All the time. In fact, good company is that person who speaks all the time. And a person who keeps quiet. And it is mentioned of one person, he got his mort behind Hajar Aswad after Asr in Haram Sharif long years ago. But this person, he got such a beautiful mort when people used to gather. He should be one side with his tilawat, with his zikr, etc. He should be busy all the time. And many other good qualities he had. One was of ishq Rasul, the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many other good qualities. So Allah Ta'ala gave him such a blessed mort. And on the other hand, we are, if we invite somebody like to a braai, a barbecue or something, or any, we don't want a person who is like just keeping quiet. We want him to be talking there. That is what we regard as good company. And it doesn't mean that you don't speak at all to anyone, you just sulky all the time. You speak, but that you count your words. You be very careful what you speak. So speech and the words that we take out, they are very, very important. So the buzurgs, they used to write down. And at night, they should go through all what they spoke and see what was necessary. Was it said in the right way, in the correct way, or what? If we the amount we speak, we won't be able to write it also. So much it will go into how many pages and pages, books we'll write. Every day, how much we speak all the time. So, and then to make shukr for all the right things that one spoke, and make tawbah for all the errors and mistakes. In the khankahs of before, there were those buzurgs where a person had this malady, this illness of speaking too much. Then they should make him wear a board, hang from the neck, and a board, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. And إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لِرَحْمَانِ الصَّوْمَ فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ. In the previous Sharia, there was also a roza of not talking. Our roza is not eating, drinking, etc., but of not talking, to bring this under control, so that a person doesn't speak too much, he doesn't speak unnecessarily, etc. So that is also very, very important. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that al-Muslim man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That a true Muslim, yeah, it is also very important to understand that we should understand our deen correctly. If we just look at the outward words, then according to this Hadith, we will make almost everyone out of the fold of Islam. That who is a Muslim? Al-Muslimu. Man salim al-Muslimun, that other Muslims are safeguarded from his tongue and his hand. So if any person abused anyone verbally or physically, then we'll say he's a non-Muslim, whereas that's not the meaning. We have to understand deen, we have to look at the whole of deen. And all the ayat, the whole Quran Sharif, don't just take one part, one place. Like one person, Maulana Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Rahmatullah, he gives this example that he read the ayat, Khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid, wakulu washrabu wala tusrifu. That take your zinat and his girlfriend's name. First of all, to have a girlfriend is haram. And her name was also zinat. And a woman, till you're not married to her, she's very beautiful. After marriage, then you don't see beauty in her. Now you see beauty in other women. And that is when we are unfaithful in our marriage. Then we don't find beauty. Otherwise, our own wives will be the most beautiful to us. So he took the meaning of this ayat, that huzu zinatakum, take your zinat, take your wife, and to in the kulli masjid, to all the masjid. And then go and eat there. وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. And don't waste anything, eat everything. Complete wrong. Today, a lot of this is happening, where the meanings of the Quran Sharif are being distorted. So much so, the Surah قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, it has been distorted also so much, and a complete wrong meaning. Now, today about, it is said about a young imam in one masjid, where today they are making this whole, I think mentioned this yesterday also, international forum of imams of all the world, the whole world. So he says that music is haram, singing is not haram, and few other things like that. So all these type of things, Allah Ta'ala save us from that. So this hadith, al-Muslimu, if we look at all the hadith, it means a perfect Muslim. It is he. Otherwise, everyone else, we are Muslims, but we have got our shortcomings, we have got our weaknesses, but you're still a Muslim. You don't, today also, one effort is being made by some people, and they're labeling people as Khawarij. That is the Khawarij, which was one sect, that on even any minor guna, out of the fold of Islam. So they're trying to use that, that people who do commit major gunas, major things wrong, and if somebody tells them that they are wrong in that, then they call those people the Khawarij, which is not the case at all. So this hadith says that al-Muslimu, that means a perfect Muslim, as explained, Maulana Abrar Rahsab Rahmatullah explained this, al-Muslimu, man salim al-Muslimun, that other Muslims, they are safeguarded, they are protected from his tongue also and from his hand also. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that one Hindu asked Maulana Abrar Rahsab Rahmatullah Ali, so this, according to this hadith, Muslims are permitted to harm non-Muslims. Because this hadith says that al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun, that are the Muslims who are harmed. It doesn't talk about non-Muslims. So Maulana explained, you have to understand the hadith properly. Why Muslim is used here? Because a Muslim's relation normally will be more with Muslim people. His interaction is more with Muslim people, therefore. Otherwise, it refers to, it must harm non-Muslims also. In fact, it is said, the cornerstone of the teachings of the Khanqa of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was that must not cause any idha, any hurt or harm to any person. And Maulana should explain that qasd-e iza is not enough. That you make the irada of what is required is adam-e qasd-e iza. Not only that you don't harm anyone, but you, if you wake up neutral in the morning, that I'm not going to harm anyone, you don't think about it. And also you don't think I'm not going to not harm anyone. Both sides. Then that person will save himself from not causing harm to. But if you wake up neutral, like if a car is in neutral, you push it from the front, it will go back. You push it from the back, it will go front. So if you are neutral, that you don't make any intention in the morning, Allah give me also tawfiq, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it reminds a person. So that I must not harm anyone. Make that niyat in the morning. If you just wake up and you don't make the niyat of not harming, and neither do you make the niyat, inshallah, nobody makes that niyat that I'm going to harm somebody. And but you don't make the niyat of not harming, you will get caught up. But when you are firm and you say, I'm not going to harm anyone, that person, and you are loyal to your words, what you said, that I'm not going to harm anyone, that person won't harm any person. So this is very, very important. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali extends it towards his cornerstone of Hazrat's teachings, and that is that Badnigai. If you wake up in the morning and you don't make the intention that I'm not going to look at any other woman, haram, you will end up looking. But if you make the niyat, I'm not going to look, and you remain faithful to your commitment that I'm not going to look, inshallah, you will get the tawfiq. Soon you will get the tawfiq that you won't look at other women. But if you don't, you will get involved. So a Muslim is he, a perfect Muslim. And that is what is our object of the Khanqa, of our Islah. And that is really what is the Islah of a person. That we must not cause any harm to any person. Be a perfect Muslim. We are Muslims, that is why we came here to the Khanqa. And we are spending our time here, alhamdulillah, namazes we are making, everything we are doing, but now we have to try and make effort to become a perfect Muslim. So we don't cause, yeah, in the Khanqah also, eating time, toilets, like the complaint that comes, that people who smoke in the toilets, now you're causing iza to other people. Other people don't like that smell. Or a person goes in the toilet and occupies it too much, unnecessarily, and people are waiting outside. Somebody with an emergency, he needs to relieve himself urgently, and we are sitting and whatever, we're smoking or whatever else we are doing. In fact, in some toilets, they've got a book stand also, and they got jokes books there. They got some other books there also, all that. And in some places, they call the toilets restrooms. And somebody takes the literal meaning of it. There's a place to go and rest. And it's not a restroom. It's just a place of a necessity. And or whatever we have to do as a necessity must be just done to the limit and the extent of the necessity. So toilet also, we are human beings, we have to go. But it's not the object of our life. Just go there, relieve ourselves and come out so that anyone else wants to use it. And also, especially when if we are traveling by plane or public places, and we make istinja also, and we make wuzu also, but then leave the toilet in such a way that the next person doesn't feel any way offended. It was very, very important. On that, I remember one little incident. One person, a very, very pious person, he was a radiographer on the ship. He was employed on the ship. Afterwards, he was retired, and that they related this incident to us. And he was a very fervent Muslim. He was the only Muslim on the ship. And he was very regular with his namazes, everything, in an environment of all non-Muslims. How great isn't that? To remain on your deen, your identity as a Muslim, everything. But he was, mashallah, that time. So he says that one day when they were having breakfast or something, all were sitting. So people complained there's somebody who uses the toilet and then there are water splashes on the floor. So he said, yeah, you are referring to me. I'm the only one that uses water. And in fact, many people, they get surprised when they see Muslims in public places. When they go to the toilet, they take water with. So they ask also, what you going to drink water in the toilet? For what you take water to the toilet? Because they got no idea of istinja. And they feel that they have progressed and they have advanced so much. And these people are still very backwards. And that they still just in istinja stuff. And a person who doesn't know istinja masalas, and we think that he is quite advanced, whereas the starting point of everything is istinja. Istinja must be correct. So, and there is a lot of detail in that also. So anyway, so he said that, he took some condensed milk from the table and he put it on his palm. And he said, now wipe it off. Completely lick it also. That condensed milk taste, doesn't it remain? They all admit it. But if you take water and you wash it off, then it's completely gone. So you say the same thing when you relieve yourself, that whatever comes out, even number one, number two, even more, until you don't wash it, the traces of it remains on there. So Islam wants that level of purity before you come in the presence of Allah, before you make wuzu. After istinja, you make wuzu. Wuzu must be done properly. Then you come to the masjid, the presence of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And so how much of purity is required? May Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, give us all this tawfiq and to understand our deen properly and more than that, to practice. So the roza of the eyes also, roza of the tongue also. There's still quite a bit about the tongue, how much Allah gives tawfiq, we will try to discuss. But Allah give me also tawfiq, and all of us, that we become what is called a Muslim. Then the explanation of this hadith has got a little bit more also in it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we understand it properly and tawfiq to make amal also, inshallah.